To another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Oh, guess what? We are in for such a treat today. You know, we have a focus of attention here week after week to bring you value because I've made a commitment. Daily, I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, a high and mighty goal, and it's worth going for. Good old Dr. Fred said it's better to shoot for the moon and miss it than to shoot at a skunk and hit it. So we're going for high goals here, folks. And our show, Advanced Living Radio, brought to you every week by the Comfort Technology. When you get a moment and you want an easy way to improve your life, visit advancedliving.com. Check in and see why Jack Canfield, Dr. Eva Selhub of Harvard Medical School, a bunch of wonderful folks are plugging in this tiny little item and making their lives better. All right, advancedliving.com. Well, get ready. What a treat we have today, because who doesn't want to be beautiful? And not only beautiful, beautiful both inside and outside, right? Because we can always see the outer beauty. The term of so many beautiful women, eye candy. But there's got to be more than that, because we want to, like the old song of Glen Campbell, we want people in our lives that are gentle on our minds, and that starts from within. So today we get to learn to be beautiful both inside and out with the beauty prescription. And who's going to bring it to us, you're probably asking? Well, how about Dr. Eva Ritvo? Yes, an internationally known psychiatrist, speaker, and TV personality. And she's been practicing at Mount Sinai Medical Center on Miami Beach for over 19 years, treating individuals, couples, and families. And she's written and lectured extensively in the U.S. and internationally on the science and meaning of beauty. And, of course, on women's empowerment issues, because if we ever needed more powerful women, today's the day. And how about disruptive physicians and family therapy? Dr. Ritvo has written book chapters and articles on topics that include both body dysmorphic disorder, managing patient expectations, and boy, don't we have those. Handling difficult patients. Oh, we're never difficult, are we, folks? Mm-hmm. We always cooperate. We always very compliant with the doctor's orders. Ah. And she's the co-author of The Beauty Prescription, which is available in English and Chinese. Yes, but she's all over the world. And she is the lead author of The Concise Guide to Marriage and Family Therapy, with a divorce rate of over 50%. Boy, don't we need to have the family strong again. and she's written chapters on family and couples therapy for leading psychiatric textbooks. So get ready, folks. We're in for a big treat today. Let's welcome Dr. Eva Ritvo. Hello, Dr. Eva.
Hello. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Boy, I am so excited. Here's the book that you and Dr. Luffman wrote. There's such pressure on women to be beautiful. And,
oh, yes.
Can you go into some of that and kind of help us to kind of set a stage for what we'll be discussing?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a psychiatrist, as you mentioned, so I try to look at things sort of in the big picture. Dr. Luffman's a dermatologist, and we came together to write this book to help women be more beautiful inside and out. So from the psychiatric standpoint, psychological standpoint, why do women have to be so beautiful, right?
Yes.
So I try to look at this from the evolutionary angle. And back when we were on the brains were developing and we were hunter-gatherers, it was very hard to pass your genes to the next generation. So not everybody was so lucky to pass their genes on. So our ancestors had to find very keen ways to figure out who to mate with so that they could get their genes to the next generation. And beauty became one of the most important markers of health and fertility. So our ancestors were wired to look for beauty, and we have passed those genes on from generation to generation. And now we're left with these really highly tuned beauty sensors. And we women look for beauty, men look for beauty, and we get that real buzz in our head when we see it. So we're not going to get away from being beautiful anytime soon. It's something that's actually even become more important lately because our world has changed so much, and we now are even more visual than we used to be. And we're more global than we used to be and more competitive than we used to be. So beauty is something that was important to our ancestors, has been important ever since, and in some ways is even more important now as we're just bombarded with images of sort of that ideal beauty, that 20, 25-year-old woman who's healthy, fit, fertile. And we don't realize that we like them just because they're going to pass our genes on. We think we like them for all kinds of reasons, but probably underneath it, it's really about the fertility.
Ah. Wow. Well, that's getting down to basics.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we're hardwired to look for beauty, and we actually, around the world, all have a pretty universal concept of beauty, which really argues for the hardwiring, not just the learned phenomena. So even babies, brand new babies, come into the world knowing what beauty is and looking at beautiful faces, staring at them longer. Studies have shown that they cooperate better with beautiful nannies, and they do better in school with attractive teachers.
Mm.
So it's a pretty basic thing.
Wow. Wow. Now that's, see, when you're bringing up something where make you wonder, how would babies just respond? And you're saying that innately, they're, as you say, hardwired to notice the difference and to respond to it.
Yes, because they want to survive. We all want to survive, and so we're hardwired to look for things that are going to help us survive. And likewise, we're hardwired to stay away from things that won't help us survive. So you know how common it is to have fear of snakes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because stuff's in our genes, too.
Yeah. Well,
so the good news for women is you can alter what you find beautiful. And that's where we find a lot of power for women. So, yeah, we're all hardwired to look for that perfect 25-year-old. You know what she looks like, bright, smiley face, big eyes, perfect, smooth, clear skin, waistline, no extra body fat except for right in the right spots that make her look really feminine. So we call that innate beauty, hardwired, same around the world. But the beauty prescription, our concept is really to have an evolving sense of beauty. And as we grow and mature, to be able to evolve and see more beauty in more places and in more different shapes and sizes. So that our concept is that all women are beautiful and all women should be appreciated for their beauty.
Mm, boy.
So it's not so bad as it initially sounded, huh?
Oh, I was getting worried there.
I know, it's scary. Okay. It's scary. So we like to have women concentrate on that evolving sense of beauty and to try to make themselves their most beautiful, because that's going to make them their healthiest, and also to learn to see more beauty in the world, and then ultimately to create more beauty in the world. Because I'm in sync with your message that, you know, we're all here to leave this place a little bit better than we found it.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And I loved what you said at the beginning. You know, the more it could be natural and effortless and flow, the better it's going to be. And that's our concept of beauty as well. It's not something that has to be grueling and painful and under the surgeon's knife. No, it should be something that comes to you naturally. So my belief in beauty is it's really about health. So doing things that you might not necessarily associate with beauty, but picking beautiful food, you know, organic food, not processed foods, foods that are good for your body, that's going to make you beautiful. Honoring the fact that our bodies were designed to move. They were not designed to sit around and watch TV or play with computers. They were designed to be, you know, hunting for food all day, on our feet, moving around. So that's what I think makes a woman beautiful, getting up and moving.
Yes.
So we have lots of approaches to beauty that might sound a little bit different than you're used to reading in Vogue and Glamour.
Yes, and I wonder, of course, your book, The Beauty Prescription, would be one of the places where people can turn.
Absolutely.
To get some of this advice, because you just brought up, you know, a subject that the typical places that women are turning for information about this aren't really offering some of these things, because there's such a big focus on selling some number of products. How many products do I have to buy for me to be truly beautiful? Kind of a thing is put out there.
Right. 100%. And those things help, and we're not against them. But at the core of beauty, it's not about that, because our hunter-gatherers were very beautiful, and they didn't have any of that stuff. So we have to do what they did to be beautiful, and that will enhance our health and our longevity.
Wow. I love it. Now, I'm going to pause and invite, if there's some listeners that have a question or two for you, let me give out the phone numbers. They could call in the U.S. or Canada, toll-free, 888-815-9756, or there's also a 530-327-7602. So feel free to call in and pose a question or two to Dr. Eva. If you're out there, you could be a woman, you could be a man, because it's all of us are faced with a similar challenge. And so tell me a little bit more, as women are doing this stuff to be more beautiful, are there any key factors that you find that are more compelling than others for them?
Well, I think that women need to go back to the basics. And right now, we are pulled in so many different directions. As you said, we live in a capitalistic society, and there's always somebody selling you something to look more beautiful, and sometimes they're hard to resist. But our concept of beauty is that it goes back to health. So I like to think of that food pyramid that you're used to, but I do it a little differently. So at the bottom of the pyramid, I think, is sleep. Because right now we know that Americans are so sleep deprived, and it's impossible to look beautiful and vibrant and function at your best when you're tired. So if women want to be beautiful, the first thing they have to do is learn proper self-care. And that starts with the basic of sleep, allowing yourself to get enough sleep. Women, because of the estrogen in our body and because of the heightened demands with childbirth and child rearing, we do need more sleep than men. So beautiful women need to get their rest. After getting your proper rest, the next most important thing is proper nutrition, because every cell in your body depends on the kind of food you're going to be putting into it. And if you want to be beautiful, you have to be nourishing all those different cells. After that in the pyramid, as we move up, is that exercise. And my belief is that if you want to be beautiful, especially as you get older, because it is harder to be beautiful as you get older, the number one trick is finding an exercise that you love and sticking with it the rest of your life. And it can change, you know, if you get bored of one exercise, switch to something different. But really making that commitment that if you want to be beautiful, you're going to have to put in that hour a day, every single solitary day. Of course, you can take breaks when you travel or when you're tired or when you're sick. But really getting that concept in your head that you've got to nourish your body every day. Then after you've done those basics with the sleep, with the nutrition, with the exercise, then comes all that fun stuff that you see in Vogue and Glamour. You've got to dress the package up right, and you've got to take care of yourself. And one of the things that Dr. Luffman always touts is sunblock. So if you want to prevent aging and remain beautiful as long as you can, that's one of the most important secrets that's out there. So what we encourage women to do is really take a look at the way they're treating themselves and their body and find ways that they can improve in all those different areas that we've talked about. You mentioned the book, and of course we love readers to buy the book, and it's online and discounted prices, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. But for people who don't want to invest in the book right now, we do have a lot of information on our website, which is www.thebeautyprescription.com. Don't forget the, otherwise you won't find us. So it's thebeautyprescription.com. And in that, we give a quiz. And each woman gets a score for inner beauty, outer beauty, their health, and the environment, the world that they live in. And so you can go online, you can get your score in all those areas, and then you can look at ways that you can improve. Some people are already very good at the outer beauty, but their inner beauty is flagging, and so they need to attend to that. Other people may have very strong inner beauty, but they just haven't had time to attend to their outer beauty, and so they need to pay a little more attention there. Some women have neglected their health, unfortunately, and so we want all women to recognize that their health is vitally important to becoming and maintaining their beauty. And also environment. Environment can really add to your beauty or take away from your beauty. Again, your beautiful promo talked about just creating a world that works for you. And everybody has something different that works for them, but sort of finding what that is and honoring that will help make you a beautiful person. So finding work that you love, finding relationships that nourish you, finding hobbies that you like, and living surrounded by beauty and peace goes such a long way to turning you into a beautiful person. So when we talk about being beautiful, we really talk about a holistic view of that. And you've got to be beautiful in all those areas, inner beauty, outer beauty, your health, and your environment. Got to get away from that one-dimensional, you know, the magazine covers. They may look fabulous, but that's one dimension. And nobody lives in one dimension. We're three-dimensional people. And real beauty is dimensional.
Yes, yes, and folks, this is so exciting because you're encouraged to go onto the website, thebeautyprescription.com, and download and take that quiz. Check in with that. And then, of course, to me, one of the things as you were describing that, and I'm looking on the website at this, I'm thinking to myself, how about... I don't know if you're doing blogging with this or not, but I was envisioning mother-daughter teams helping support each other. Or...
Oh, yes. You're so on target. But that's a little bit narrow. And our book is really geared that every woman's beautiful and every woman can find a support system. Not every woman has a daughter. So we have a different concept, which is beauty buddies. That is a concept of women supporting women.
Ooh.
And you find a beauty buddy, and that's somebody that you can love and trust and will support your journey to be more beautiful inside and out. So it's somebody who builds your self-esteem, who makes you feel good. And by the way, they may go shopping with you, they may get their nails done with you, they may get a massage with you, they may play tennis with you, horseback riding, et cetera, et cetera. Studies have shown that when women spend time with women, we release a hormone called oxytocin. And that's a very important hormone because it's involved in bonding. It's the hormone that's released when you make love and when you're nursing an infant, but it's also released when women spend time with women. You feel safe, you feel secure, you feel calm. And the more time we can spend with women and releasing that hormone, the healthier our bodies are going to be. So we're big proponents of beauty buddies. Dr. Luffman and I tease each other that we're beauty buddies. And believe me, we've been through beautiful times and we've been through some not so beautiful times, and we're always there with each other to support each other and to try to bring out the beauty in one another and see the beauty in the world, even in times when it gets challenging. So it's so important that women find these relationships. I have two daughters, so I consider myself extremely blessed. My daughter and I went to the salon together today. We did manicure, pedicure on a Saturday. And I have a little tomboy who wouldn't be caught dead in the salon with me. So everybody has to, you know, do what works for them. My daughter and I were excited because we sat on opposite sides of the salon. And when we walked out, the color of my toes and her fingernails were the same.
Uh-huh.
So that was a good beauty buddy synchronicity.
But
women need to really bond with women. You mentioned something earlier that there's a 50% divorce rate in our country. And I think we all know that. That's a statistic sad that we've heard before. But what people don't know is that for the first time in our country, there's actually more single people than married. And so what that means is that the majority of women don't have a man standing by their side to protect them. And, you know, we could argue that we're wired to live that way, and we're not living that way. So we're going to have other people that love and support us. So women helping women is something that's vitally important for women, especially as we grow older, and especially, you know, in our youth as we're navigating all those developmental steps. So we call that beauty buddies, and if your listeners could really think about who in their life they could consider to be a beauty buddy or somebody they can really love and trust and nurture that relationship, because you also mentioned that that my area of expertise is relationships, and we all know that relationships are only as good as what you put in them. So if you want to have a beauty buddy, you're going to have to invest in that relationship. You're going to have to make another woman feel beautiful and special, and then she can reciprocate and do the same for you.
Right. Now, when you're on that subject, it makes me curious, because women sometimes can be very competitive with each other.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm kind of wondering, is there some suggestions that you may offer to help get past some of that into the bonding?
I think the reality is that you're not going to find tons of beauty buddies. What you're looking for is one, or two, or three if you're really lucky. A small, small group of relationships that you can nurture and cherish that you're going to be able to stay with over time. Other than that, it's hard to really have enough energy to nurture relationships. Women do tend to be competitive with other women, and particularly beautiful women sometimes find it very difficult to make friends because people feel so threatened by them. So in terms of dealing with competition, recognizing that it's a natural part of the human existence, not taking it too seriously or too much at heart, but pulling away from it and don't let it get you down, and then surround yourself by those people that really do love and support you. Again, your promo was just genius. I loved everything you said. And just being around people that make you feel good and make you feel happy, where things come easily, those are real beauty buddies. And you don't need tons of them. You just need a few of them.
Okay.
And when others get competitive with you, you can take it as a compliment, because you know that means you're looking good or you're acting smart. Because if they didn't feel threatened by you, they wouldn't bother to compete.
So there.
Go ahead. Have at it.
Yes. And as you're bringing that piece of it up, it makes me curious, because I'm not sure what you would put for the inner beauty part as a spiritual component. Because to me, one of the things, most of the spiritual teachings speak to us about our God, our Creator, unconditionally loving us.
Right.
And of course, we're trying to do our best to emulate that for each other in the world, and that's a bit of a challenge. But we have this source out there that is constant and loving, and forgiving and accepting. And what kind of emphasis do you find that can help support women for their quest for that inner beauty connection?
Well, first of all, I want to say that your concept of God or a higher power is a wonderful concept and a beautiful concept. I'm not sure everybody has embraced that yet, though. So that's a topic for one of your shows, to make sure that people can embrace a creator that is all-loving, all-accepting, and adores us with our warts and all. Because I think once people have that concept, it is easier to move through life in a positive way and to see all these ups and downs as just part of the process, but that we're all good people doing good things. And as much as we can feel that way and bring love into the world, I think, boy, every day is going to be better. So I hope that your listeners will embrace that sort of a concept. We look at it in terms of beauty, just saying, look, every woman is beautiful, and all we need to do is make beautiful choices to enhance our beauty. And I think you and I are saying similar things here. In terms of spirituality, there probably is nothing more important than that to create a beautiful person. When you can have that concept, like you said, of being loving, nurturing, accepting, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And when you can feel that way about yourself, you can feel that way about your beauty buddy and the people most important in your life, and then you can really open your heart and give to others. And what could possibly be more beautiful than that?
Yes. Well, we've set a high standard there for that. And
yes, we have.
And it's nice.
I know one thing that helps me with my spirituality is seeing the beauty in nature and seeing the wonder in nature. And if you look around, I mean, my goodness, we could spend hours and decades trying to look beautiful, but it's really hard for us to compete with the nature, the natural beauty that's all around us. So whenever I'm feeling a little bit down or feeling not beautiful enough, I turn to nature to feel a little bit better. I don't know if you told your listeners I live in Miami Beach, but that's a very easy place to find beauty. So I open my windows, look outside. I look at the clouds. The clouds in Miami are spectacular. I look at the trees, look at the flowers. And when you see that kind of beauty, that creates an inner sense of calm, of well-being, that there is some order, that some of our little trivialities really aren't that important. And I find that to be a very important source of comfort.
Okay. So that's there's some real sage advice in the midst of all the busyness to have maybe little nature breaks, because you may not be at a beach, may not be in the mountains, but chances are there's somewhere nearby that you could find a few blades of grass or a tree.
I think nature is so healing, and I think no matter where you are, you have to surround yourself by nature. And I don't think busy is beautiful. I think busy is necessary, and we live in a crazy, crazy time with a lot of people with a lot of hardships. But I think if you really want to be beautiful, that's a more peaceful, serene place to be. And you're going to have to find ways to create that for yourself. Nature works for me, but you know, other things work for other people. A lot of people are very comforted by art, by music, by dance, by yoga, by meditation, by candles, by photography. I think what's important is finding what works for you and doing it regularly. Understanding that every day, you know, is going to be filled with certain challenges, and we have to have something that nourishes us and supports us every single day if we want to stay beautiful and healthy. So finding what works for you and sticking to it. If you get bored of it, that's fine. Find something new. But really sort of honoring that quietness, that stillness, that time to connect with a higher power is really what I think allows us to be our most beautiful.
Yes. Well said. I love it. I'm not familiar enough with all that you're doing, but what was coming to me was a vision of some of the beauty buddies taking time, especially now with the phones that'll videotape things, to have a place that you might possibly coordinate beauty buddies reporting in and sharing some of their special moments with each other.
Yeah, you know what I do?
What?
I take photos whenever I'm walking around and I see something that's very beautiful, whether it's the clouds, whether it's the water, no matter what it is. I take a picture and then I send it to, you know, one of my beauty buddies, and then I put it on Facebook so that it's that instantaneous sharing of a moment that you find is very special. And that's what works for me. But again, other beauty buddies, other people can do different things. But I do agree with you that helping other people see the beauty in the world, connecting when you're feeling good, is so important.
Yeah, because I'm over here from having talked to your PR agent, Charlotte, isn't it?
Oh, and she's my beauty buddy too. I love her.
Okay, and I had a vision of you connecting with Jennifer Grey from years ago. Did the movie Dirty Dancing?
Right.
And she just turned 50.
Wow.
And is kind of making a resurgence. Apparently is going to be on one of the Dance with the Stars shows.
Well, good for her.
And she went through a period after doing some good movies, apparently getting some advice for plastic surgery, and it changed her look enough through plastic surgery that her career went downhill for a long time. And to me, part of what we're talking about, too, because people seeking beauty is sometimes the nip and tuck approach of the plastic surgery and different things like that, which don't necessarily lead to more beauty.
Well, in the beauty prescription, we talk about plastic surgery, and it's something that if you use it sparingly and you know exactly what you're doing and you have a good doctor and you can afford it, people oftentimes are happy with the results. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, and with any surgery, there's risks involved. So I can't speak to you specifically about Jennifer Grey because I don't really know her, and she's not my patient. But I can tell you in general that, you know, nature is pretty good, and it's hard to improve on nature. Now, that's not to say that a little nip or tuck here can't help, but when you start to do too much of it, usually you're not going to really be able to improve the initial package. And sometimes people, you know, you were saying that her career suffered because of too much surgery, but it might be that her career was suffering and she turned to the surgery to correct her career, and it just created a vicious cycle. It is very hard to be in the public eye, and we see over and over again so many celebrities, sports figures, politicians, that constant pressure of being in the public eye leads to all kinds of difficulties, and one of those difficulties can be excessive reliance on cosmetic surgery. So it's unfortunate, but that chronic stress takes so much out of people. When they don't have an escape.
Yes.
So we give guidelines in the book for, you know, really looking at your expectations of surgery and when they're realistic, you know, understanding the process and going ahead very, very carefully. But if you find yourself seeking again and again cosmetic surgery, and if you've been under the knife before and haven't been happy with the result, it's unlikely that going back under the knife is going to make you any happier.
Right. So there, folks, that's something to consider as you're looking at all kinds of different options. And of course, sometimes it's easier to think, okay, well, I can just go get fixed versus take the time to create a really wonderful lifestyle.
Correct. Yes, all the things that we're talking about can be a lot of fun. You know, like you said, is when you're doing the right thing, it can be tons of fun. But it also does take effort, and it takes effort in today's society to eat properly because, wow, there are so many options for eating poorly out there. It's incredible, isn't it? And it can be very hard to make the time to exercise and really honor your body. And it takes time to go to the doctors and do all the preventative things we need to do, and it takes time to put those 8 hours of sleep in. So it's not necessarily easy what we're prescribing, but it's the basics. And once you get those things under your belt, everything else will go so much better.
Yeah, and for those with a few years under their belt, there was an old commercial on TV for Fram oil filters, and a mechanic would say, you know, pay me now to for a filter and change your oil,
yeah,
or pay me later to do an overhaul on your engine.
There you go. There you go. And that's one of the things that being a physician, I'm so keenly aware of. It's all the things that can go wrong. And, you know, we don't have 100%, you know, ability to prevent negative consequences of aging, but we certainly can do our best to slow the process down. And that's something that should start, you know, as young as you can and be as ingrained as possible, because there's nobody on this planet that wants health issues. And there's so much we could do as a society to prevent health problems. You know, obesity is rampant in our country, and we have great treatments for obesity. The best thing, of course, is prevention, like with any other disease. So helping our children to eat properly during their youth, to exercise during their youth, preventing the development of obesity, which becomes harder and harder to treat the longer that you experience it.
Mm.
So that's,
yeah,
a wonderful example of, you know, just starting with the right habits as early as you can and living your life that way.
Yeah.
And I think women are motivated to be beautiful. So that's why we like to talk about these things, to be beautiful, because this is something that motivates people.
Mm-hmm.
Women,
yes,
want to be beautiful. Have you ever met a woman who didn't want to be more beautiful? Didn't Eleanor Roosevelt say next time she's coming back prettier?
Well, there you go. I know the title of Chapter 11 had a quote from hers on it that was kind of fun. But that's one of the things. It's like, okay, I'm coming back, and I'm going to be even prettier.
Yeah, and here's one of the most powerful, you know, women in history, an intellectual giant. And sadly, you know, she's still focused on her lack of outer beauty. So we sort of take advantage of that, because women do want to be beautiful. They are motivated to be beautiful. And if you could sort of harness that energy to, you know, eat right, exercise, sleep, etc., then that's very powerful.
Yeah.
And you,
yeah,
know what? The men will respond. The truth is, you guys like beautiful women. So when we do all these things and we look more beautiful, we feel better. And this is where environment comes in, because you get rewarded for these things. And that continues to energize you. So you take a step to look more beautiful. You change your hair. You get a new outfit. You change your makeup. Somebody says, wow, you look great. And that gives you energy to keep doing it.
Yes, those little things that inspire us. Oh, okay, a little victory, a little celebration.
That's right. And all the, you know, experts on happiness say it is not winning the lottery that makes you happy. It's the tiny little things that happen on a day-to-day basis. And when you have lots of those, you know, that are in the right direction, you're going to have a happy life. And those are the sort of things that we need to build into our day. So getting up in the morning, spending 5 extra minutes to put the jewelry on right, to put on new makeup, walking into the office and having somebody say, you look great, that feels wonderful.
Mm, yeah.
And that keeps you moving in that positive direction. Life,
right,
is all about the choices that we make every single day.
And I noticed that in your book that you put in a number of different stories from people to,
yeah,
to help us to, as we read through the book, to go in there. And, for instance, there's a myth, crying is unhealthy.
Right. And that's terrible. What I always tell my patients when I see them cry is I say, I'm sorry you're in pain, but I'm glad that you can express it. And the strong person allows themselves to feel that pain, because that will guide your future choices. It's those of us who aren't brave enough to face our pain that will continue to make poor choices. So, for example, if somebody's in pain and they won't allow themselves to recognize that, and they'll go have a drink or they'll distract them with something else, then they've robbed themselves of the opportunity to learn where they made a mistake, and they're just going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. So pain, crying, it's not something bad. It's something necessary. It's a signal. It lets us know, hey, we've done something wrong. Just like if you bump your leg, you want it to hurt because you don't want to keep walking around bumping it again. So if you're in a situation at work, in a relationship, with your self-esteem, where you cry, that's okay. Acknowledge it. Recognize it. Figure out what it's about so you can correct and get onto a better path.
Yes.
It's people who are too scared to feel their feelings. Then everything gets all jumbled up and confused.
Boy, I tell you, that's so easy to have happen with the complexities of life today. And it's nice to hear, okay, it's okay.
Oh, no, it's good. It's more than okay. It's good. It's necessary. When you're in pain, you want to acknowledge it. You want to let those emotions out. You want to think about how you got in that situation. You want to try to figure out how not to get in that situation again. Because we are all evolving. You know, we've been talking about beauty because I have a book called The Beauty Prescription. But 20 years I've been listening to people talk about every topic under the sun. And we are all in a process of evolving every day, trying to make better choices, trying to go forward in a better way, trying to become the best person that we can become. And we're not going to get there unless we readily and honestly acknowledge where we've taken a misstep. And how do we know we've taken a misstep? We know that because we're either anxious, sad, depressed, ineffective, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And life is hard. Life's not easy. Nobody said it was easy. So you're facing challenges every day, and sometimes you're going to meet them in the right way. Other days you're not going to do it right, but you want to acknowledge that so the next day that goes forward, you can make better choices.
Yes, well put. It's so important to really have a tenacious persistence in going forward with things and not getting stuck.
Yep. Remember you said the ad. Remember the Lexus ad, I think it was? The Relentless Pursuit of Perfection? I love that. So every day, you know, you're going to be honest, look at what you did right. You really want to feel good about what you did right because self-esteem is so important, having a healthy sense of yourself, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what you're good at. But also, hey, where did I misstep today? How could I do better tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I ate ice cream today, I'll tell you the truth. But I was so tired. Why was I tired? Because I didn't sleep enough. So tomorrow I'll try to get a little bit more sleep so that I don't need to do ice cream to go on a radio show. But you know what? None of us are perfect. I haven't eaten ice cream in a long time. Little slip up, but that's okay. But you have to honestly look at the choices that you're making and try to be better every single day so that through the years, hopefully as we grow and mature, we're becoming more and more the person that we want to be, that we can feel proud of, that we can feel good about, that can nurture other people, that can give back to the world. You know, we don't start out that way. We all start out as little babies who can't do anything except take, 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 take. And it's years to come out of that process. That we're all evolving. And one of the things that we like to talk about with beauty is, you know, you definitely hit your beauty peak early, you know. Boy, every single baby on the planet is beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. Ever met a baby that wasn't beautiful?
No.
Never. Oh, my God, they're gorgeous. So they're beautiful. And then the teens, you know, well, they may get a little funny with the braces and the acne, but they are so beautiful. And those girls in the 20s and the boys in the 20s, they're beautiful. But if you want to stay beautiful afterwards, that's when you got to start making the good choices. But that outer beauty phrase, but that we compensate with that because that's when your inner beauty can really soar, when you really can express yourself. You're not in school. You're not in that little box where everybody's supposed to do the same thing. You grow up and you can pick your path and you can do what's important to you and you can really create a very unique and special world as you get older. So maybe it's harder to stay beautiful on the outside, but your inner beauty can really soar as you get older.
Yes. And was there some things that you would suggest that we look at for helping to enhance our ability to connect to that inner beauty as we age?
Well, I think there's many things. And I think one important thing is getting to know yourself. And when you get a little older, you don't have infinite possibility. You know, you're not running around at 45 years old going, you know, I think I'll be president of the United States. No, that ship has sailed for most of us. But you know, hey, you know what? I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at that. I like the way I do this. And so that can really help your inner beauty, where you have achieved certain things. You are good at certain things. You can repeat the fact that you're good at those things. It's reproducible. And that can contribute a long way towards healthy self-esteem. Other things that you can do is you can know yourself. You know what works for you. So, for example, if you found an exercise you like because you're a little older, you've tried lots of different things, repeating those things can really help. And doing things that nurture your soul is so important. So, again, whatever it is for you doesn't matter. But hopefully by the time you're a little bit older, you've figured that out. And also by the time you're a little bit older, you've figured out which relationships really work for you, and you spend time being with those people that you love and care about.
Mm. Uh-huh. See, that's so important. As we grow and mature, to take that, what this is saying, do what works.
Or, absolutely.
What was his name, Joseph Campbell, that follow your bliss.
Yes. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So nice. And when you're older, you can do that. You know what? The truth is when you're younger, you really can't. You got to do what people are telling you to do. And hopefully if you are in a good environment that allows for individuality and creativity, you know, it will pretty much match with what you want to do. But as we get older, we really are responsible for our own world and our own ship, and we can create the world that works for us. And that's so important to do, for each person to know, hey, this is what I like to do. This is what I'm going to do more of. I'm going to follow that, because that's going to make you a beautiful person. And good things happen to beautiful people. Because other people want to be around you. They want to be with you. They want to create with you. And they're going to feel good being around you. So when you're in your blissful space, everything's going to go better.
Mm,
nobody
yeah.
wants to be around a grouch or somebody who's unhappy or somebody who's overburdened.
That's true. Now, there's an old song. I think it was like one of the Jefferson Airplane songs off an old album called Bark, and the song was titled You're Only Pretty As You Feel.
Right.
And so I think that's part of the inner beauty things, and I'm wondering if you've shared some. Are there some others that you might call some of your best inner beauty tips?
Absolutely. Well, we start out the book by telling every woman that they're 20% more beautiful than they think. And that goes back to that concept we talked about at the beginning of the show with an innate beauty, and that everyone's hardwired to look for Angelina Jolie. And so, of course, each of us looks in the mirror and we go, oh, my God, I look nothing like her. And then our self-esteem plummets. So we tell everybody, every woman, hey, wait a second. You don't need to be that harsh on yourself. Go ahead and upgrade yourself. You're 20% more beautiful than you think. And so if you could look into the mirror and you could go, hey, I look pretty good, or I like my green eyes, or I like the fact that I'm still a size 2 at my X age, which we don't have to tell. If you can have that positive mental attitude and you can carry that with you through the day, that's what people are going to respond to, because people really respond to your thoughts, not just your outer appearance. We know this, you know, in The Secret, they labeled this the law of attraction. You are what you think, and people are going to respond to that. So if you walk into a room and you think to yourself, I am a beautiful woman, everybody's going to turn and look at me. It happens. People are attracted to that confidence, and they will turn and look at you. On the other hand, if you're feeling like, oh, I got 5 extra pounds and I can't stand this dress, you're going to walk into the room slouched over, your eye contact's going to be poor, you're not going to have a bright, cheerful smile on your face, and you know what? People are going to respond to that. They're not going to be interested in you. So the biggest tip for inner beauty is you have got to feel beautiful. You've got to take those steps so that when you look into the mirror, you go, I am beautiful. And you have to remember that when you walk into whatever you walk into, a job interview, a party, a date, a time with your husband, whatever it is. If you feel beautiful, other people will respond to that.
Mm, I love it.
So we call that our faith lift.
Faith lift?
Faith lift.
It's not a lisp.
In the old days, women used to have facelifts, but now they don't. We don't have facelifts anymore the way we used to, because people are so healthy, their faces aren't falling down. So you have to have a facelift, which is you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you're a beautiful woman. You have to take those steps to nurture and honor your body every day. And when you walk into that room, you got to know that you can own it.
Now, how are you with doing any dress rehearsals for some of that? Do you think that helps in front of a mirror to kind of take a look at yourself and go, hey.
Absolutely. Listen, you got to be your own best friend. You got to be able to talk to yourself, and you got to be able to have that nice conversation with yourself in the mirror that I'm a good person, I look good, I'm going to spend that extra time getting dressed today, I want to be on the top of my game, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do it. And for people who are a little bit shyer, they can even go through the conversations they're going to have with themselves, with their beauty buddy. They can write it down. They can go online. They can look for tips of how to, you know, light up a room. There are so many things out there now that can help people. But building your confidence is so important because people will respond to that.
All right. Wow, that's excellent.
We have another really fun tip before we run out of time, which is one of my favorite things from the book, and that's called a park bench experiment. And that goes back to, like I told you before, my love of nature and being outdoors. So we tell all women, and of course you men can do this too, we don't like to sound sexist. This was just our pink book. We hope the next one will be more inclusive. But go sit on a park bench and look at every single passerby and train your eye to see more beauty. So each person that passes by, look at them and find something very specific about them that you find beautiful. So you may say with one, wow, she's got amazing hair. Wow, that was a beautiful smile. Ooh, I love the way she laughed and giggled with her child. Ooh, I like the way she combined that pink and that yellow. I would never have thought to put those two together. But the more you can look at beauty in other people and train your eye to see beauty, you expand your concept of beauty, and then you can carry that home, and you can be more charitable about yourself and see more beauty in yourself and in the people around you and in the world around you. So we call that the park bench experiment, and that's something that you can do. You can do it once, you can do it five times, you can do it every single solitary day, but really training your eye to see more beauty in others and yourself.
Ooh.
Fun, right?
Like it. Yeah.
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 Yes, and then I have met many, many people who do the same with nature, where they'll go out in nature and they may go to the same spot every day and just try to see something new or different that they didn't see before and really, you know, fall in love with nature, fall in love with people, fall in love with yourself. It's really the best feeling we have in the world, isn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't have to be confided to that, you know, new dating situation. You can have a much more expansive view of the world and an expansive concept of falling in love. You can fall in love with fragrances, with tastes, with smells, anything you can think of.
So that's that celebration of life. You call it falling in love.
Yep.
Wow. I like that, Reverend Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church out in California. I don't know if Dr. Luffman knows of him, but he was in The Secret, and one of his thoughts is to not just celebrate after something good has happened, but celebrate life so that you bring more goodness to you because celebrating.
Absolutely. You got to celebrate everything. First of all, we have to celebrate that we're alive today, right?
Yeah.
Every day is a gift. That's another thing that, you know, going through medical school, you really grasp that concept. So every day that we're here is a gift, and you have to celebrate all the small things because, as we said earlier, it's not really the big things that create joy for people. It's the small things that create joy. And the more that you could focus on those small things, the more you can bring joy into your everyday existence. And listen, we're all here. We might as well be joyful while we're here. So trying to celebrate all the small things. Look around your room right now, wherever you are right now. Find something that's beautiful, that you love, that you feel like you're lucky to have in your possession. I don't know, but I'm loving these new 7 for All Mankind jeans that I found today. So whatever it is, you know, you have to feel good about those little things that you have in your life.
Yes. Exactly.
And appreciate those, and appreciate those and the people that are around you, the relationships that are around you, nature that's around you. All of that is so vitally important if you want to be happy. And being happy leads to better health because there's nothing worse for the body than stress.
Yeah, that's what some large percent of disease is stress-related, isn't it?
Well, one might hazard a guess to say, you know, you could probably guess almost all, right?
Yeah.
What isn't stress-related?
Exactly.
Yeah. So as much as we can create a stress-free world filled with joy and happiness, the better all of our lives are going to be. We like to put that under the category of beauty because people respond to that. So looking around, what's beautiful in your day, what's beautiful in other people, what's beautiful in your environment, what's beautiful about your body, and really feeling lucky and blessed and special, and like you said, closer to that creator, to the source.
Yeah.
What it's about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. This is so much fun. This is stimulating me to celebrate more, and listeners out there, please go to thebeautyprescription.com. Check out this wonderful book, The Beauty Prescription. From my looking at it, even men can get some value out of this.
Well, you know, we really did gear this book to women because it's concepts that are for women, that covers pink. We use all women experts, all women beauty buddies. But my hope is that the next book will speak to men as well. My next book will be written with a trainer, a physical trainer, because ultimately I think the heart of all beauty is really that the physical body, training your physical body. So that next book, which is in the works right now, will be geared more towards men and women. In the meantime, I just completed my new website, which is drritzo.com, so people can look there. You mentioned blogging. There's lots of materials there that might appeal more to your male audience than thebeautyprescription.com. Not that I want to turn them away. I love men, but if they'd like to come to the website, drritzo.com, there's lots of information there. My sister's a photographer, so I put up some inspirational photos and quotes there so people can have a look at those. But I think the most important thing, you know, was what you said at the beginning of the show, is trying to create the world that you want to live in. And that has to start with your own body, your own health, the choices you make to honor that, and then you can sort of ripple that out into the bigger world and creating the environment you want, and then trying to change the world to be a more beautiful place.
Mm. Folks, I think we can take a big, deep breath and just kind of breathe in that wonderful wisdom that Dr. Ritvo has shared with us. What a treat. Just that wonderful sigh of just letting go and feeling that little bit more of our own beauty. And Dr. Ritvo, thank you for helping us to bring that to mind and giving us a resource that we can turn to for the down the road, year after year. Well, you are
yeah.
a sweetheart. Thank
well,
you so much.
We like to say that beauty is a journey. It's not a destination. It's not a one dimension. It's not a spot. It's a journey, and it's a journey that you want to take every day by making as many of the right choices as you can every day to become a more beautiful person, to create more beauty in the world. And I really enjoyed being on your show and sharing my Saturday night with you. That was a beautiful thing to do. I've been looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you'll have me back and
Absolutely.
We can continue to talk. And I'm very interested in the Agape philosophy. I'm actually from Los Angeles.
Oh, all right.
So
all right. Well,
we're on the same page with lots of concepts.
Good.
And I hope your listeners enjoyed our show tonight as much as we did.
Absolutely. A treat for all of us. Well, thank you so much, and beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. We're here every week for you, bringing you more fun and adventure on the path to advanced living. And until we meet again, God bless, and goodbye for now.